Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Philadelphia Eagles are getting upset. They don't want anybody questioning their beloved tush push or the fact that they seem to have this unstoppable play. Welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I kind of was over all tush push talk, quite frankly, up until the game against the Chiefs, which I think kind of brought it right back into the forefront, Pearl, because, you know, I think we've all kind of accepted the tush push. A lot of people believe, you know, hey, all you got to do is try to stop the play instead of complaining about it because your team doesn't do it well enough as the Eagles. Why don't you just try to stop it? And I think what changed is that we saw against Kansas City on Sunday afternoon, even the referees can't officiate it. So even when it looks like you actually may be stopping it because either the Eagles are false starting or whatever, it's not getting officiated. So there really is no way to stop this play, because if the refs can't catch when the Eagles go off sides with it, then it's like it's totally and completely unfair. Do you feel that as an Eagle fan? It's gotten back into the conversation because of what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think it was just the offsides. I think they just ran it too much on Sunday, and it got that game was such a slog, and that game was even boring as an Eagles fan. The second half was like, oh my god.
Ran it a lot in the NFC Championship game.
That was a 50-22 wild shootout, though. That was a fun game for everybody involved. Saquon was running free down the field. This game was nothing like that. This game was the Eagles got a lead and just were like, let's just hang on. And they kind of killed the clock. It wasn't fun, even as an Eagles fan. It's not really the offsides. Here's my only problem with the tush push. Like, it takes forever to run. They get up there because they're trying to bait the other team offsides too. So it's just like such a slow play. I wish they almost forced, like, just give them the first down. Would that be better? It's just such a boring play. So I get it. Like I think
give
even
me
Eagles,
putt?
Even Eagles fans are a little bored by it. But that being said, like, you know, you're gonna have to absolutely outlaw it for them to stop running, because why would they stop running it otherwise? And all these critics, like, I don't think most Eagles fans really care that much. They're just like, they just want to win, and almost kind of laugh at the critics, like, aha, you can't stop it, so you're trying to complain.
Yeah, no, I think you guys revel in it. What it is. You love it. You love the fact that it gets under everybody's skin.
Sure.
And Jordan Mailata, who was on WIP, Manny, if I can hear from the Philadelphia Eagles offensive lineman, says people don't like the tush push. People saying the tush push is the reason they beat the Chiefs. That's misguided.
I understand it. I understand the outrage. What I don't understand is them using it as an excuse to why we won the game.
Right.
I think it's incredibly disrespectful to our defense and our special teams who balled out.
Oh, come on. All right. Disrespectful to the defense. Okay.
But they didn't win that game because of the tush push. Like, Kansas City was not winning that game.
Mailata went on saying the discourse over the Eagles needing the tush push to win makes them very angry.
I was going to say a lot of other stuff, but, you know. I just think it's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish, man. It makes my blood boil just thinking about it.
He could read the product of, like, you know, like a shampoo label now be so enthralled by
He's
it.
He's amazing.
I know. I want to start saying rubbish.
He also seems like the best dude ever.
Yeah, he does.
All right. He's in his feelings, everybody. Let's keep the main thing the main thing.
Let's not humanize these
Because, yes, because he thinks that the Eagles are being reductive, right? Like, you're only winning because of the tush push. It's not because of a full team. Here's my question. Is the Eagles' success since the tush push going to have some kind of asterisk on it because they are using this play to an advantage? Like, forgive me, no disrespect to Jordan Mailata. It might not be the reason you're winning, but it's a reason Definitely. And yeah, maybe you could just QB sneak with Jalen Hurts, but if you could just QB sneak, why wouldn't you just QB sneak? It feels like it's actually a lot easier on everyone's body to QB sneak than it is to do this tush push. Like, you hear Jason Kelce talk about the physical toll the tush push takes on these offensive linemen, and it sounds really, really grueling. So I don't know if a quarterback sneak is maybe a little different. Feels like it is for the center, but I think this will have an asterisk. I do. And Pearl, I kind of think about it the same way at times we talk about some of the dynasties from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s before the salary cap. So we talk about these dynasties and it's like, yeah, we do. And you bring up the Dallas Cowboys and what's the real reason why they stopped winning beyond Jerry is that a salary cap came in.
Yeah,
and Jerry can't deal with the salary cap.
But we don't talk about the Steelers and from the 70s like that, do we?
Well, I think we talk about other rule changes that have happened since then, right? How defenses are able, well, actually with the Steelers of the 70s, as we know, they famously changed a rule and it actually ended up helping the Steelers guys the line. But the way we talk about older teams, it's like, yeah, well, you could hit guys over the middle back then. You could crush the quarterback back
then. But everybody could.
Right. But like the salary cap stuff or how teams play, I think gets added into at times. It's not, maybe not the first line, but it does get talked about as this was an advantage that you don't have anymore. The tush push, like when we talk about it 10, 15 years from now, when it's eventually outlawed, because it will be, because it looks like the NFL hates it.
You might mention it.
You would mention it.
But let me ask you a question. What's a team that has an asterisk in the NFL? Like a champion? Name one. That NBA has a million of them. But NFL, not so much, I don't think. We don't really asterisk Super Bowl champions.
People do mention a lot about Patrick Mahomes' offensive line being banged up against Tampa Bay. It, like, talk about injuries. You're talking about the NBA has asterisks because of injuries, yes? That's what you're
talking about? No, NBA, because the ultimate asterisk is Hakeem won two because Michael Jordan was playing baseball. Like that's
your own personal asterisk.
That's everybody's asterisk. If you Google asterisk NBA title, like, or the Spurs won because it was a strike shortened year. The strike shortened years you give an asterisk to. And the what?
The bubble.
Right, right. No, I'm saying in the NFL, like the 82 and 87, you give a little bit of an asterisk to.
Yeah.
But not even really. Like, I don't think people even really care about that.
I agree.
The NBA is more of an asterisk league. I don't think the Eagles, the other thing too, the Eagles clearly didn't need the tush push in the Super Bowl. I don't, you know, that was just the one that they won.
Yeah.
I'm sounding like an idiot here. They didn't. Did they have the tush push?
I think on the first
Nick Foles, they did not.
Oh, no, not with Foles.
Yeah, so that one, there's no asterisk. But I'm just saying
with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, this year's Super Bowl, they had Saquon Barkley running like a madman. I don't think they needed the tush push at all in 2024. So you could asterisk that, but I don't think if you were there, that was the story.
Well, yeah, but winning the Super Bowl is just one game. How about all the run to the Super Bowl? How about the close wins that you had in the playoffs?
Not really.
The Rams game?
The Rams, they were up by like two scores. The time was running out, and they totally just lost their mind in the last few minutes of the game.
Getting home field advantage? I mean, there's a lot of things.
That's a stretch.
I don't think so.
I mean, the fact that they won the NFC title game 55-23 and the Super Bowl 40-22, I think that would stick in people's minds. There's no tush pushing when you're win by 30.
But you ran it against the Commanders so much that a guy got penalized three different times in a row and got threatened to get kicked out of the game.
That's why we ran it so much. Because Frankie Lou kept jumping. That's not our fault. That was his fault.
You're saying you didn't need it to win, and I'm saying you were set up at the goal line and you were running it over and over again. If you could have just ran a bootleg for Jalen Hurts like everyone else in the league, but you didn't. You ran the tush push, and I get why you did, but you can understand why the rest of us could put an asterisk on this. Like, yes, they were a great team, but they also had the tush push, which I, again, will assume will get banned soon.
Yeah, I mean, sure, if you want to put it out. I don't think Eagles fans are going to care really at all, because that's definitely not the real narrative of that. They had a great defense and a great offensive line, and honestly, the story of the 2024 Eagles will be Saquon Barkley, for sure. I think that would be a major stretch to put an asterisk on it. And honestly, you could, it would not affect the way the Eagles fans feel about the team at all.
That's fine. Yeah. But, and Eagle fans, no one's ever going to take that Super Bowl away from you. But when you start talking about all-time great teams, or if you start talking about dominant teams, because you are the team that took out the Chiefs. I know the Bucs also beat the Chiefs pretty soundly in the Super Bowl, but you made Patrick Mahomes in his absolute peak, prime, look very mortal. and may have been the first cracks and real cracks in the Chief dynasty. We don't know. Like, we'll see how the season plays out. They're sitting there 0-2 with a big game against Manny's Giants Sunday night. So, you know, if somehow the Chiefs go on a bit of a drought here, that Super Bowl is going to be looked at as the turning point and as the moment. So you think, like, not to bring up the Giants again, but like that Giants 07 team that stopped Tom Brady's undefeated season. Like, that team's remembered not as an all-time great team, but has a place in history because of what they did. You know, that Eagle team,
that's not
this
safe.
Could go that down is... as one of the, like, big teams in NFL history if the Chiefs go on a drought of 10 years.
That analogy I don't buy at all. Comparing the 2024 Eagles to the Giants team that beat the Patriots, there's no similarity. First of all, the Eagles they were a great team. They were 14-3. The Giants stuck in as a wild card and were a 2-touchdown underdog.
It's about your opponent. I'm saying the opponent, you are not the dynasty right now. The Chiefs are the dynasty, and you may have stopped it. Just like the Giants, the teams aren't the same as far as talent, but that Giants team in 07 stood in the middle of the railroad tracks as an undefeated Tom Brady, Randy Moss season was coming down the pike.
Right, and that was like Villanova beating Georgetown. This was like North Carolina beating Georgetown. Like, the Eagles and Chiefs had just played neck and neck 2 years before the Super Bowl. It doesn't feel at all like that to me. And I don't think people are going to judge that 2024 Eagles team because of the Chiefs. Because the honest thing is, the Eagles are a Super Bowl favorite this year. I think people are going to be almost disappointed if they don't win this year. Right? This is a good team. And by the way, all the guys who left the Eagles last year after the Super Bowl team, they're all awesome everywhere else. Like, that team was loaded. Milton Williams had the game winner. Josh Sweat looks good. Who's the other guy? Bryce Huff had a game-winning sack. Like, that Eagles team was stacked last year. I think history, because I know Bill Barnwell at ESPN, their analytics guy, said, like, historically, this is an all-time team. And I do not think that...
You don't think the Tush Push is going to be remembered more than that?
It might be called the Tush Push team, but I don't think people are going to downgrade the team. Honestly, I think that people are going to go back and say Saquon Barkley had a year. I mean, 2,000 yards, probably, if he played, could have challenged the all-time record. I really don't think that it might be associated, but like an asterisk would just feel weird. People would be like, I'm not really sure what you're talking about.
EJ, throw it up on the poll. Will the Eagles' success have an asterisk due to the Tush Push? Now, the reason why I bring in the asterisk part is because, and again, this is a little bit of a leap.
That's absolute rubbish, man.
But we think that the Tush Push is going to get banned in the very near future. So it's kind of like when we, you know, 10, 15 years from now, we talk about this team, they would have been winning with a play that is now illegal, right? That's kind of the idea behind this.
Right, right. But that just... I mean, obviously, they've changed the rules every year forever. So every team won with a rule that's now illegal. Like, there's a million different rules.
Right, and I'm saying sometimes we bring those up, you know? We do sometimes bring up the fact that the NFL is different from, like, we do bring up the fact that the Cowboys were able to stack a lot of talent because there was no salary cap. Ditto the 49ers.
Actually, when I brought that up during the documentary, like, everyone's like, wait, what are you talking about? I don't think we bring that up generally.
I sit next to you. You bring it up.
Who are the, Gibby, seriously, like, we're smart people. We're all football fans.
You love putting asterisks on Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean,
Peyton Manning, you will not give Peyton Manning credit for the second Super Bowl that he literally started and won the game.
But I give the Broncos credit.
Okay.
I mean, Peyton Manning was at that Super Bowl. Yeah, he was in attendance. Obviously, Peyton Manning had nothing. He threw 9 touchdowns and 17 picks that season.
Who started the Super Bowl for the Denver Broncos in 2015?
Peyton Manning.
Right. He won. He gets credit for winning. He wasn't MVP.
But it's not part of his legacy. He got benched. If you're going to do that, he got benched for Brock Osweiler during the season. Peyton Manning. Tom Brady never got benched for Jacoby Brissett.
I do feel like it's not necessary. We don't necessarily lessen the legacy of these teams, but I do think we talk about the Patriots in the early 2000s being able to beat the crap out of the receivers when they played the Colts in the snow, and how the rules changed where you couldn't be so physical on the outside. And we also talk about the 70s. You talked about the salary cap. I was thinking about, like, you know, same thing, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers would just bludgeon receivers and just tackle them on the line of scrimmage, and you couldn't get off the line of scrimmage.
Like, but all the teams could do that, and all the teams did do that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I just think that it's mentioned. I don't think it's something that we completely ignore. And then I think Spygate, I think the whole Patriot thing
has
a whole cloud.
Deflategate and Spygate. Like, Deflategate and Bountygate. That's the other one. The gates, you might put an asterisk.
Tush Push Gate.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that if you really go to put an asterisk, how about the fact that the Saints were going after Brett Favre's knees on every single play. Like that, you might asterisk, but even that, that's like one of the great all-time NFL stories. That's one of the most celebrated Super Bowls of all time. And they got half the team got fined and banned right afterwards. Yeah, I don't think you asterisk NFL. There's just too much going on. But if you want to put an asterisk, if that would make you feel better, you could definitely do it.
No, I just think that we've reached like maximum capacity here with the tush push.
That and might be true.
I think that the tipping point came in that game against the Chiefs. And again, I think it's because the argument for keeping the tush push was if you hate it so much, go out and stop it. And then when you watch the referees miss those false starts and not be able to officiate this play, you're like, well, if the refs can't officiate when there's a penalty on the play and they're just allowed to run it at will, it no longer seems fair. It doesn't seem like you can just go say, well, if you're so worried about it, stop it. It's like, well, actually, the Chiefs were stopping it. The Eagles were first starting and they were not getting flagged.
But by the way, the officials miss calls all over the place.
I don't know why.
They call false starts on the tush push all the time as well. Like they've called that a million times. I don't know why they missed it.
But this felt.
They called a false start on the other team earlier in the game.
The Chiefs?
Yeah, they called offsides on the Chiefs because Chris Jones' helmet was in the neutral zone.
I don't feel like the Eagles get penalized
They started calling false starts on them, and they're trying to clean that play up. I don't know how they missed the last one. You could see on the TV copy, the guy was about a foot over the line. But that being said, other teams are doing it now. Did you guys see Clemson do it this weekend?
Yeah.
And obviously Kellen Moore is doing it with the Saints. Like, everybody has access to it. Go ahead, do it if it's so easy.
It's not. It's a thing. It's not just a one size fits all thing. It's just not. Not everyone has a quarterback who can squat 600 pounds.
Right. So in that sense, like, you get credit for that. And by the way, you take it away. Like, Jalen Hurts is, as you've said many times, he's still gonna get it 85% of the time on sneaks.
That's what I don't understand, because Jason Kelce talks about the tush push like it's a near death experience every time he would run it. So why did he do it if your offensive line hates it so much?
That's true.
I think that's starting to become nonsense. Like, the fact that he keeps saying that, but then they look fine doing it. It just feels like part of the narrative for the Eagles to keep the play in play is to say, listen, I know think it's so easy, but you don't know the physical toll that goes through. Yet you run it six times a game, and you get it every time. It doesn't look that hard to me.
Yeah. It's just a sneak. The other thing, too, is now you notice, because of the tush push, when teams fail on quarterback sneaks, you're like, well, why didn't they push that guy? Did you see when the Bears tried a quarterback sneak from like a yard and a half away, and they didn't come within 3 feet of
the
first
time? They did it
twice. Yeah.
third down and fourth down, and they missed on both.
And I don't think they were pushing it.
Like, no, just QB sneaking.
Yeah, it's I watch other teams. I'm like, why aren't you pushing that guy's in the butt? Don't cut that.
888-710-4ISN. Should there be an asterisk on this current version of the Eagles' success because of the tush push, which we believe will be banned pretty soon?
This discourse is all the more reason why you should go on our poll on Twitter and vote for Jalen Hurts for the Great Debate Series today.
Manny, you openly campaigning to win this is beneath you. You could just go there and vote.
I did already.
For our Great Debate question today, which is, who is the greatest college football transfer of all time? Manny did pick Jalen Hurts, and Manny's on a bit of a heater.
I'm hot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know the results, but I can tell you right now, this has got to be a Joe Burrow-Cam Newton battle.
I know the results.
It's got to be Cam. Is it Cam or Joe? It's got to be one of those two.
It's not results yet, because it's not finalized.
You got 24 hours.
Okay, the way, 30% of the precincts reporting.
What do you got?
Joe Burrow's at 60%.
Damn.
Yeah, dude threw 60 touchdowns and won the title. You guys have, who else won the title? Cam, that's it.
Cam Newton is at 23%. Jalen Hurts is at 15%. Yeah. And Baker Mayfield at 1.4%.
Yeah, but Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl, so remember that.
Yeah, by the way, Jalen Hurts was a terrible pick, by the way. Why'd you go Kyler Murray?
No comment.
Because of the Super Bowl. Also, while you're there at Maggie and Pearl on X, is Jim Harbaugh a phony? No. Trending at 65%.
What?
Ha-ha. He's a character, guys. A character, which
is
why
memory.
I should have won that poll last week.
Hell, I'm 55. I got a long way to go.
Well, that's Dabo. We're talking about Jim Harbaugh.
Bobby, did you see the other poll? What was the Tom Brady poll?
Oh, yeah, Tom Brady poll we had, which was, do you have a problem with him being a broadcaster and being heavily involved with the Raiders as a minority owner.
And I said it would be 60-40.
Yeah, right now we're at 64% to 35%.
You should host a show, Perloff.
I'm good at predicting polls. I could be work for Quinnipiac.
Oh, okay. I don't think you want that.
That'd be annoying. People would hang up on you a lot.
No, I don't know how anybody in this day and age answers a poll question, like a political poll.
No, it seems like these polls sometimes are off.
Hey, Andrew Perloff, poll surveyor here, Quinnipiac. Beep.
Now, I remember the last time I had a landline, Quinnipiac used to call me all the time, but I also had caller ID.
It was Quinnipiac, literally.
It literally came up as Quinnipiac.
That's the most famous poll, right?
I think there's also a Siena poll.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one, too.
What is it with these Mac schools with all these polls?
It's all the Mac schools.
Siena? Oh, man.
It's got to be...
Iona's slipping.
Yeah, I was going to say Manhattan
Iona,
College Miami, Jaspers. Manhattan. Call
Get
you
it
next.
Together, guys.
It's Canisius.
Canisius. Is Niagara one?
Niagara is.
Yeah, Niagara.
Oh, yeah.
Name your Mac schools. St. Francis of somewhere.
Yes, Maris.
Oh, there's also the Gallup poll.
Gallup poll's big. Yeah.
But I Googled what is the most famous political poll of all time.
What conference did they play?
Quinnipiac came up as number one.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I know a guy who played at Quinnipiac. Shout out to Brian Geffen, St. Francis prep grad. Good player.
What sport?
High school.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, point guard. Eventually transferred to Holy Cross, so he could have been the greatest.
How do you have time to practice? How do you have time to practice when he's out there asking people who they're voting for?
Well, you see, like, it's kind of like the Navy Academy, right? Like, you got to do your service, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, this was part of his service, was that, you know, he took some phone calls before practice.
Calling up some old ladies. Who are you voting for? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, lots more to do, including... What has me a bit nervous about tomorrow, M&P?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. This Thursday Night Football preview is sponsored by Square. More than 4 million neighborhood businesses run on Square. To learn more, go to square.com or just stop by your favorite local business. See you in the neighborhood. Square.
That was a triangle, Pearl.
Can I get my fears out about this Thursday Night preview? My Buffalo Bills going up against the Miami Dolphins. Now, this is an 11.5-point spread.
If you have fears about this one, you should be talking to a professional, not to us.
Because I do.
If there's a single NFL game not to be afraid of, it is this one.
Okay, so this has all the makings of a Buffalo Bills romp, right? The Miami Dolphins defense has been just downright terrible through these first two games. They barely showed up to play against the Colts. Against the Patriots, they showed a little bit more fight, but the defense still... is very, very suspect, and Josh Allen could really feast here. Like, right. You could tell me he'll throw 5 touchdowns in this game, and I may believe you. Now, here's where there's just a seed of doubt in the back of my head as a Bills fan. This is the season for Miami. This is it. You know, if they're going to show any fight, this is a complete no one believes in us game. On TV, everyone's going to be picking the Bills. It's going to be one of those memes. If Miami somehow pulls an upset, nobody picked us to win this game. It's kind of like a last stand, whereas the Bills, short week, just like Miami, Josh Allen's nose is broken. He's got to play with a visor most likely now, and that could take a little getting used to. So could the Bills be overlooking them? You know, could this be a tough spot where Josh has to adjust to the new helmet? There is a little bit of doubt because Miami is in desperation mode, and that's it.
Yeah, you're crazy. There's no way Miami's winning this game. Cut that and play it on Monday morning if I'm wrong, or Friday morning, sorry. Yeah, I mean, when's the last time this Miami team even beat the Bills?
a couple of years ago down in Miami when it was about 100 degrees. The Bills had to run 70 plays or something, and Josh Allen almost died on the field.
Yeah, I mean, and the Dolphins have been a pretty good team the last few years, and they couldn't beat them when they were a good team. How are they going to beat them when they're now that they're awful?
Well, see,
in Buffalo on a short week,
it's a tough assignment.
After playing a long game on Sunday, where they had to play like real 60 minutes,
there's a possibility that the Bills put the stake in the Dolphins' season, or at least in Mike McDaniel's Dolphins' career. I mean, there's a real legitimate possibility that if they lose this game badly in Buffalo, which again they're a massive underdog, where the team just straight up fires Mike McDaniels, tried to salvage the season with a new coach.
And was there any indication on Sunday on the Miami defense, which was really a do-or-die game for Mike McDaniel, that they were fired up? I mean, New England's not great offensively. They were doing whatever they wanted. I mean, come on. There's absolutely no... If you're not confident about this game, or you are confident, but if you can't see a game where there's no reason to be nervous in this one, then you will never see a game where there's no reason to be nervous. You could be facing a fifth-string high school quarterback and you would be nervous because there's no reason to think that the Dolphins can win this game. None. Yeah. 0.0. And I know it's sports and you're not supposed to say that.
Yes.
But I'm saying it.
This is the whole thing. You should pick the Bills for your survivor pool then.
Of course I would pick. I don't want to waste the Bills. But yeah, everybody, I should. Yeah, no duh.
All right. Yeah. I just feel this is why they play the games.
I mean, listen, this is why you listen to Maggie Brown. You should take the Buffalo Bills over the Miami Dolphins for your survival. Yeah, me and everybody else. They're 12-point favorites.
I'm just thinking, put your money where your mouth is. I'm essentially saying there.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I would gladly take the money line on the Bills if it wasn't like -9,000.
All right.
I mean, you have to admit, like, this should be the easiest game of the season for the Bills because it's Miami coming to Buffalo on a short week.
But
the logistics of that.
Yeah, but despite what you think, in Buffalo in September, it's not snowing. I know that's a rumor out there. It is not snowing yet. Yeah, it's going to be balmy there.
Late October is when the
snow starts. A month before the first frost.
But you were a bit nervous about the Jets game, right?
You know, I was, and I was really actually kind of disappointed as this went on in the Jets because the blueprint's there. Like, you could also tell me that Devon Achane might run for 200 yards in this game. Like, the Bills could not stop the run against Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, Devon Achane, not the same thing. I get it. But the Bills certainly have an Achilles heel in their defense, and I was surprised that the Jets did try to exploit that more.
Trubisky's a backup, right?
Yep.
They should start playing him.
I know.
Save Josh Allen.
They should, but they don't do that. They have this weird thing about keeping Josh into the bitter end. Now, Trubisky did get in eventually with the Jets, but way too late.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to have, because of where the AFC East is, you're going to have a lot of opportunities to rest Josh Allen. Like, honestly, because I'm just thinking, fast forward to the divisional round. Like, that's when the season starts for Buffalo, if they stay healthy. But we've seen some snake-bitten stuff happen to them. They really just get to protect Josh at all costs.
So that's the Thursday night game, and it's sponsored, the preview, sponsored by Square. So thank you, Square. Perloff, you said there might be some...
Oh.
Breaking news.
Have you seen it yet? Do you know what it is?
I was waiting so you could surprise
me. EJ has. Do you think if I gave hints, Maggie could guess the nature of this breaking news? It's NFL news.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
It involves a former Bill.
Okay. That I'm not going to get it on that alone.
It involves a player who is currently in the AFC East.
Okay.
It involves...
Oh, Stephon Diggs. Something happened with Diggs.
Yes.
Am I close?
You're right.
Are he and Cardi B getting married?
Close. What's the other possibility?
They're having a baby.
Bingo! I knew I could get Maggie there. Two hints.
Wow. Bingo.
In fact, I knew I could get you there.
This is a real castle.
Cardi B said on CBS this morning.
I thought they broke up.
I think they got back together, right?
Who knows with those two.
Congrats.
I wonder Marie Antoinette was getting old down here. There's real crocodiles in there.
Listen, you buy...
This is a real castle.
You take a woman to a castle... Things are going to get medieval.
Did you see her throw a pen at a journalist last week? Did anybody see that?
No.
Yes, I did.
That was amazing. That was Cardi B is a national treasure.
Is this at the trial?
Yeah.
Everything happening in that court trial thing has been hilarious. She's been changing wigs, and they're like, great. Why is your hair different? She's like, have you ever heard of a wig?
Yeah, yeah.
She's the best.
She's quite unfiltered, I've started to notice.
Well, it's just that's supposed to be maybe a courtroom is probably supposed to be the most serious setting that we have in America.
Come on, it's Cardi B.
But like, what do you have? You have like a courtroom, an operating room. Like, yeah, these are serious places.
Sacred ground, I know what you mean.
Cardi B's like, basically it was an SNL skit.
If you didn't see this video of her throwing a pen, someone asked her a question. She goes, excuse me for a moment, calmly walks over to where another journalist is, takes his pen, comes back and chucks it at the cameraman and then starts cursing him out.
I think it was a question about her being pregnant too.
Was that what it was?
I think so. Now that I'm
so the trial, if I'm remembering, I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I don't want to be careful here. She was pregnant at the time, and someone saying that she like assaulted them as like a security guard or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm
in the ballpark, right?
Yeah, it's an assault trial.
What happened? What was the verdict?
Cardi B had her little day in court, and she made fun of everybody.
Yeah, no, she.
I don't think that they've come out with a verdict yet. I think it's still happening.
Get out of here.
I mean, as of yesterday, they said Cardi B admits she fell asleep during the lawsuit trial.
Is she with, maybe she's with Diggs to take the attention away from the trial.
this is not high-level politics, bro.
That's quite a pull.
That is, by the way, they are two characters. Because Diggs is funny, too. I mean, he's wild.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
I'd take Cardi B in a comedy show over Stephon Diggs.
Well, do you remember the quotes in the locker room? Who would you not set your sister up with?
Like, Diggs.
I think Stephon Diggs is quite a character.
Yeah, she's having a kid with the rebound guy, which is always a little dicey. That's Stephon Diggs has like a reputation of kind of being the guy that dates these women after these high profile breakups.
Dates is very much quotation mark there.
Yeah. And now she's having a baby with
him? By the way, Cardi found not guilty in that civil case.
I'm just glad to know it's not going on still, because that's taxpayer dollars there.
I just feel like I haven't seen those news.
Down here.
Like, still, today. Like it's still happening. So I assumed it was still happening.
Imagine being a jury sequestered or something in that kind of trial. Like, get me out of here.
There's real crocodiles in there.
I mean, to be honest, that'd be the best trial to be at. I mean, she was so funny. Again, she was treating like an SNL skit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, somebody who had to be on a jury, to have Cardi B there would have been a huge attraction. Like, I would have stayed on an extra day just for that.
Remember when you were doing jury duty for a month?
Yeah,
that
grand
happened.
Jury. Yeah, grand jury is no joke.
Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got the headlines for us. Was that the lead of your...
It was not. Okay. Yeah, it was not. But this is, Maggie, you said more than once that you wish you thought of Indiana Jones for new Colts QB Daniel Jones. But does he actually like the new nickname? Kay Adams asked him that question on Up and Adams on FanDuel TV.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a strong opinion on it.
Shocker.
I think...
it's your name!
I had some buddies in town this weekend. They were all about it. They had bought some Indiana Jones T-shirts and stuff. So I guess they were excited about it. I don't really care, but it's always a nickname.
This dude is a wet napkin.
I don't care.
Yeah, like come on, man. Like, give us a take or something.
No, I don't think that's possible.
Good Lord.
So that was the thing about Eli. At least Eli was a little bit, who Daniel Jones
Eli's
got compared
funny.
To all the time. Like, Eli had a little charisma, right? A little riz.
Different. He had the little brother vibe going on.
Break down that touchdown. Can't hear. Never mind.
No, it's so funny about the way we do NFL narratives, by the way. Mm. Like, the Colts should have lost that game to the Broncos. That was a weird call. So they'd be 1-1 and nobody'd be hyping up Daniel Jones. But now, like, and same with Baker Mayfield, could have easily lost with the Bucs. Now Baker Mayfield's like, these games come down to a coin toss, and then we decide who the players are based on that. Like, Daniel Jones' hype would not be here if the Broncos had won that game, right?
No doubt. So, I think people would have said, oh, Miami stinks.
Yeah.
He won that first game, and then the second game, the Broncos beat him, not even remembering that it was like field goals and penalties and stuff like
right.
that.
Would Kay even be interviewing him in this? No. So, like, it's funny how just like a little one bounce of the football here or there decides this massive narrative that decides what we're going to talk about that week. And Daniel Jones easily could be 1-1.
Do you think Daniel Jones is back?
Well, I kind of think he's going to be good here. I think he fits Shane Steichen really well. Good. Not like MVP level like he's been. Like, they haven't punted yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've not punted the football in two games.
It's the year of our Lord, 2025, and I put in a waiver claim yesterday for Daniel Jones. This is ridiculous.
How two-faced are you?
How?
This started with, shut up, dude, you're a wet noodle, and now he's going to be on your fantasy team?
Got that
have
right, brother.
Have some principles.
My principles include about 15 points a game. That's all I need from Daniel Jones. Those are my principles.
Jones has the Titans this weekend, by the way.
Yeah, that's why I picked them up.
3-0, baby.
Sorry, Cam.
Who remembers this from Sunday?
Getting ready to boot it away is Myers, a low line drive kick, Gainwell and
Special
Johnson.
Teams.
As the ball bounces through the hands of Johnson and into the end zone, it's going to stay in the end zone. Do the Seahawks fall on it in the end zone? It's going to be a touchdown, Seahawks!
Yeah, Mike Tomlin remembers that Caleb Johnston let that kickoff roll into the end zone where the Seahawks fell on it for a gift TD. The Steeler head coach said yesterday Johnston has lost his job for now.
I'm certainly going to give him an opportunity to work his way back from that era. I believe in his talent. He's a sharp young man. He's a hard worker. And so you leave the light on for him. You give him an opportunity to move on from it.
The Steelers are in Foxborough this weekend. The New York Mets have won back-to-back games for the first time in 2 weeks. 8-3 over the Padres, so they remain a game and a half better than the Diamondbacks for the last NL wild card. Arizona rallying past San Francisco last night, 6-5. Those Giants and the Reds are now three games behind the Mets. Meanwhile, losing in New York didn't hurt the Padres too much since the Dodgers took a 9-6 loss from the Phillies despite five no-hit innings and homer number 50 from Shohei. L.A. still leads the NL West by two games on San Diego. The Cubs have reduced their magic number for a playoff spot down to one, winning in Pittsburgh 4-1. They got three of those runs off of Paul Skeens. Florida football and the SEC jointly suspending Gators running backs coach Jabbar Jalouk for three games for his role in those pregame shenanigans with LSU last weekend. We still don't know exactly what he did, but the joint statement said, quote, coaches are expected to be leaders and to de-escalate tense situations, and that did not happen in this circumstance. And finally, for me, the Las Vegas Aces 17-game win streak ended with an 86-83 loss in Game 2 in Seattle. Skylar Diggins, 26 points, 7 assists for the Storm. So now a third and final game in Vegas tomorrow night. Guys, back to you.
I have a quick question before we break. Shohei Ohtani, 5-0. Is he going to win the MVP because of pitching? That's ridiculous. Him and Kyle Schwarber are neck and neck. But he's 1-1 as a pitcher this year. Has he really had a massive impact on the Dodgers as a pitcher? I ask you because I know you're sort of a Shohei pitching defender.
Yeah, as long as Shohei is pulling any kind of double duty, I think he will get the nod. People are so different. No offense to Kyle Schwarber. He's a great hitter. There's been a lot of great hitters in the history of Major League Baseball. This is very different.
But his pitching is having no impact on the season, though.
Well, is it? Just because his record is 1-1, how many starts has he made?
I mean, it's not having like, I mean, the Phillies are a significant number of games up on the Dodgers for the number two seed.
Yeah, so I mean, I would vote for Schwarber, but I think the problem that I'd have with your argument is, yes, he has not been a truly front-line pitcher this year the way he has
right,
been
but they
in the
were
past.
He was building him up forever.
But the fact is he's pitching at all at a serviceable level is what makes him amazing, but I don't think it makes him the MVP this year.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. Remember, they were building him up forever. He didn't get a lot of innings for a large chunk of the season.
Yeah, right. Because they were building him up, and then they would, and then it would pull back a little bit. Remember, Dave Roberts was all cagey about it and weird because nobody can tell Shohei nothing.
That's like, why I'm saying
he decides everything.
That's why I'm saying this is not the year to give him that pitching nudge because it's only been like a partial pitching year. That would be my argument. But it seems like he's the Vegas favorite, so I could be wrong.
Any type of pitching, Maggie? What if he were a closer?
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
All right.
And I think he's going to actually maybe come out of the bullpen when it's the playoffs.
Don't look at me like that. They don't throw as many innings.
That'd be very hard, though.
Oh, can they do that structurally? Like, how does I don't know what his body would do.
It'd be hard, because how are you going to warm up? When are you going to get him in there? It's very, very different. But
that'd be
cool,
though.
This is also why I think that Cal Raleigh should get the MVP over Aaron Judge.
Yeah. Oh, they got to give it to Cal Raleigh.
Well, not just because, like, different type of story. Aaron Judge probably deserves it. In terms of numbers, he's ahead of Cal Raleigh in terms of all the advanced statistics, but Cal Raleigh's doing it as a catcher.
And also
harder.
Too, you got to give it to, that's why I would give it to Schwarber, but give it to the new guy. Judge and Shohei have plenty of MVPs.
888-710-4ISN. See you guys on the phones. Ask you today, if Notre Dame wins out, will they get into the college football playoff? We'll get back to that next. M&P.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We were talking a lot about Notre Dame today and whether they should get into the college football playoff if they run the table. So they'd be 10-2 because they've obviously started the season 0-2. I say they will get in. Perloff says they will not. Chris is in Lexington, big Irish fan. What's up, Chris?
Oh, Maggie, great show as always. You know, just a quick little backstory. I'm 55 years old. I'm a Catholic kid from Pittsburgh, and so my following in Notre Dame goes all the way back to the glory days of Lou Holtz. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I understood the pullback of not wanting to join a conference a while back. But now, no. Because this is what my year comes down to every single year. I look at the schedule and I say, okay, what are the opportunities for us to impress? And you know as well as I do, the only reason we got in last year was when we beat Texas A&M. Especially after that embarrassing loss in Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, you knew Texas A&M was going to be ranked. I figured Miami would, didn't know where. And then maybe asterisk, you guys were talking about asterisk, with USC. And so now we're 0-2. You know, who knows what's going to happen with USC? I know they're ranked right now, but like you guys said, very poetically, they still got a ways to go. Let's see where they're at the end of the year. As much as I love Notre Dame, Maggie, and I'm usually lockstep with you, and I want to be with you on this one, I don't know if brand gets us in. I agree with you. I you know, I've been taking crap for this for years. Ah, the only reason you guys get the benefit of the doubt is because of the eyeballs. Well, eyeballs also equal dollar size,
yeah.
You know? But I just don't know, even if we run the table, Maggie, if our brand is enough to get us in. I really don't.
Well, Chris, it's going to be a big test for the committee, and I think the committee generally, I would say, fails these tests at every turn. But I'm saying they do it by failing. What I mean is they will do what's best for the bottom line. Chris, thank you so much for the call and the compliments. Appreciate you listening. This is my first inclination that Notre Dame was going to be okay, even after losing to A&M. The fact they did not fall out of the top 25. You know, if they really wanted to send a message, then I think they would have dropped Notre Dame out. But now that they're clinging, ranked 24th, it just gives them opportunities for style points, other teams in front of them to drop down.
Yep.
And the fact they'll say, well, Notre Dame lost to both of these really good teams by 4 points combined.
I mean, what has Notre Dame really gotten the benefit of the doubt? I'm trying to think. This is their first, in the current format, it was first year. They never made the 4-team playoff, right?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, it's a national championship.
Yep.
Which one?
No, well, that was Alabama. They made the other one and lost in the semifinal.
Brian Kelly lost to Alabama.
Yep.
Right, in 2012.
And again in the semifinal.
Yep.
Later. Oh, what year was that?
Look it up.
Gotcha. I thought they hadn't been in the playoff other than when Manti Te'o.
They made the 4-team playoff.
Oh, sorry. I totally apologize. But generally, though, like there haven't been a lot of situations where it's been like Notre Dame versus Alabama or anything. So we don't really know how they would go up against a big SEC brand. I mean, last year, wasn't that controversial. Like they got in. It wasn't that big a deal, was it? I mean,
no, but I'm just saying this is you're right. This is going to be a test. They did lose to Northern Illinois last year, but they beat A&M on the road. You wanted to say something about Patrick Mahomes before we say goodbye today.
Oh, yeah. He turns 30 today. He's ahead of Tom Brady.
In what sense?
When they were both 30. Like, there is no doubt he has had a better career up to age 30 than Tom Brady.
Both had 3 Super Bowls, right?
Right. But and I didn't remember this. Mahomes had 3 Super Bowl MVPs. Brady only had 2. Can you name the other one?
Yeah. Yes. It's not Deion Branch.
Mahomes has way more playoff wins. He has more All-Pros. Way more yards, way more everything. Of course, Brady started off slow. So this is a courtesy of Athlon. They have all the stats here.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Like, Mahomes has definitely had a better start. The question is, can he have that second act that Tom Brady had? I'm not so sure. Because that Tom Brady thing, we did not expect Tom Brady to really take off post-30 the way he did.
Yeah, the post-Travis Kelce act.
Well, yeah, I guess
here's the question. Do you think Andy Reid's going to stay around for the next decade?
Reid's 67, maybe, but not much longer than a decade. I think Brady's probably his best year was 2007 when he threw 50 touchdowns and they lost. I just think this could be hard because, yeah, four after 30. It's incredible. Tom Brady, when you look at where he is and where he ended up, it's a long, long way to go. I don't think Mahomes is going to catch him.
Yeah, I mean, and also what Brady did then by leaving the organization, going to a different one, winning right away. I think there's too much ground to gain for Mahomes. But here's the thing where Mahomes will have our argument. If you just looked at like who's the more talented quarterback, if you're going by not like wins necessarily or Super Bowls, if you're just going by talent, I think some people believe Mahomes is already better than him.
Oh, definitely more talented.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and I see what you're saying. Like his rushing yards are obviously. Mahomes has 2,400, where Tom Brady had 430.
Yeah, it's a little different.
And Mahomes has all the arm angles and all that stuff. But, yeah, I don't know if that's going to be enough. You're right, though. That Tampa Bay Super Bowl kind of put the GOAT debate out of reach. I think that makes it really, really hard to top Tom Brady.
Man.
I mean, because, listen, Mahomes, the other thing, too, is he's got Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Hasn't meant anything yet.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
His biggest issue was first Tom Brady, who beat him in the AFC Championship game, then beat him in a Super Bowl.
But Mahomes, unlike Brady, Mahomes needs his legs. Will his physical style wear on him more in his 30s than Brady, who was a pocket guy?
You're absolutely right about that. But don't you think the Brady beating him head-to-head, even though Brady was at the end and Mahomes was at the beginning, should that end the debate? Like they literally played against each other.
I don't know. Mahomes... under a lot of pressure that game.
That is true. His offensive line was basically a sieve.
Well, happy birthday, Pat, by the way.
Thank you, EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogus, Andrew Kaplan. 888-710-4ISN is the number to call Bill Ryder, if you're into that. We love you, Bill. We got to go. Weedos coffee drinkers, we'll see you tomorrow. Maggie and Perloff.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
why
it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.